Sandra, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Where are you based out of?
Just right outside Washington, D.C.
You know, when I got the email from you saying you go into the office, it kind of struck me. A lot of writers now do their work from home.
Yeah, I do some work from home. I mean, that's the beauty of the internet. I do often do work from home, but my schedule now is I'm usually here around 8 o'clock. So.
And how long have you been at USA Today?
About 15 years.
And I know that you write quite frequently from them. Your story was really interesting, talking about legislation to help folks who don't have checking and savings accounts maybe work their way past that.
Yeah, and actually it's interesting that you called, because I kind of got the idea for this story while I was in Detroit. I recently was reading that something like about half of all the people in Detroit don't have bank accounts. And that's true in a lot of inner city areas. But it was very interesting talking to people and finding out why people don't have bank accounts, why they use check cashing stores and Walmart or whatever to cash their checks. And a lot of people have just been really turned off by banks, and they think they're too expensive and they can't trust them, so they'd rather go to a check cashing place and pay a percentage of their check because they know what they're getting. And I think the FDIC is trying to come up with something that will encourage banks to offer a product that these people will use.
Well, that's interesting when you think about the aspect they're going to lose some of their money to these check cashing facilities, as opposed to putting the money in the bank where all of your money will go into the bank. And of course, there are fees here or there, but there's going to be a lot less that you would pay if you put it into a bank or savings and loan.
Yeah, and one of the studies that I looked at found that even among low-income people, those who had bank accounts saved more than those who didn't, even if everything else was being equal. Just the presence of a bank account gives people a way to save. Now, in fairness, some of these check cashing places say they do offer some kind of savings product. But just generally, you know, the structure encourages saving, and it encourages better planning. Because I talked to one woman who used to use check cashing or pawn shops to cash checks and now has a bank account. And she says she now knows where her money goes. Before, she'd walk out with, you know, cash her check and walk out with cash. And in a few days, it would be gone, and she didn't know where it was. Now she has a checking account. She can track it online. She has a much better sense of how she's using her money, and she can budget better.
One of the people you talked with in your story talked about how she and her husband was making less, and as the money in their account went down, the fees just piled up. What kind of fees were we talking about?
Well, the thing that really came up again and again when we were talking to people about this story were overdraft fees. Unfortunately, they're kind of going away anyway, but what happened to a lot of these people is they used their debit card, they went a little bit over the balance that they had in their account, and instead of them getting a flag at the store saying, sorry, you don't have enough money, the transaction went through, and then they got hit with an overdraft coverage fee that was sometimes, many times larger than the amount that they went over their account. The one woman, she went over by a couple dollars and ended up with a $33 fee. And people were so put off by that because they felt it was sneaky and unfair. And, you know, the one woman said, it was my fault, but I think it was a disproportionate punishment. And so after that, they just felt like they couldn't afford those kind of surprises anymore. So when they go to a check cashing store, even though if you add it all up, it's expensive, they know exactly what they're paying every time, and they felt that was easier for them to manage.
We are talking with Sandra Block, who is a writer for USA Today. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. We're talking about her story titled Building a Bridge to the Unbanked. It's in yesterday's money section of USA Today. And a stunning part of your story, you talked about how as many as 50% of people who live in Detroit don't have checking or savings account. Nearly 8% of U.S. households, or about 17 million people, don't have bank accounts, according to a source that you use in your story. That's unbelievable.
And well, what I found even more striking was how many people have an even larger percentage, about 18%, have bank accounts, but still use check cashing stores or pawn shops or things. So we refer to them as the underbanked. So even though they might have a bank account, they're still going to these places and paying the fees. either because the bank isn't convenient or they don't, you know, they might have a little money there, but they don't trust it anymore. So, yeah, the numbers are really high. And if you break it down into, as I said, inner city or certain minority groups, it's even higher.
And not only are there underbanked folks, but there's unbanked. And it seems that the rates for these unbanked or underbanked people, really, it's very high with the Black community, with
yes.
the Hispanic community, with Indian American. Did you find that the demographic were these people who were lower income folks?
Yeah, they're lower income folks, definitely. And I also think they're, you know, in the case of some of the groups, one of the studies I looked at that was done in Los Angeles, a lot of them were recent immigrants and may not, you know, be trusting of banks or really gotten into the financial mainstream. But it's definitely more prevalent among low-income people or moderate, what the FDIC calls moderate-income people.
So, in an effort to bring more consumers into the financial mainstream, as I'm reading from your story, the board of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is scheduled to vote today on a program to encourage banks to offer no-frills, low-cost checking and savings account. Talk about that, and we'll find out the results on the vote later today.
Well, actually, they voted on it yesterday, and I'm pretty sure they approved it. What they're trying to do and what they're hoping is they can line up some banks to sort of do a pilot program is come up with a product that doesn't have is very basic, doesn't have any bells or whistles, maybe, you know, requires direct deposit, gives you a certain number of transactions a month, and maybe costs $10 a month, maybe costs less than that, a few dollars a month, and then has a very low minimum balance. And by keeping them no frills, maybe it will be affordable for the banks to offer them. Because banks now say that free checking accounts are loss losers for them. And unless they have fees from other sources like overdraft fees, they can't afford to offer them. So what I think the FDIC is trying to do is get some banks to try out these accounts and see if they actually work. And if they do, then other banks will take them on and maybe they'll become more widely available. And I should give a pitch here, too. To the extent that people have access to credit unions, very often they do already offer very low-cost, no-frills accounts. The problem with low-income people is oftentimes they just don't understand or have access to credit unions, so they can't take advantage of them.
Is this going to be a federally funded program? Is money going to come from the government? Where are they going to...
No, it's not coming from the government. I think the FDIC has a little bit of nudging ability because banks do have insured banks that have FDIC coverage are required under the Community Reinvestment Act to reach out to low-income communities. So the FDIC may be able to say to them, this is a way that you can fulfill your obligations. But no, there's no cost here. They're basically, I think it's persuasive. They've come up with this account and they're hoping that some banks will try it out. But no, there's no money involved. I mean, banks are private industries and part of the problem that the reason we have so many people unbanked or underbanked is because banks just do not think they are profitable customers for them.
All right, Sandra, thanks so much. A fascinating story. And if folks want to go online and get to that story, how do they do that?
They can just go to usatoday.com and search under my name and find it. But thank you very much. It was great talking to you.
Thanks, Sandra, and enjoy your day.
All right, bye-bye.